So we're pleased to welcome to the program, of course, Quincy City Council President, at-large Councillor Nina Liang, to bring us up to date on the City Council meeting that was held remotely again. Nina, and here we are chatting remotely again, too. It's great to see you.
You too, even if it's virtually, Joe.
Exactly. It's the best we can do under the current circumstances. And were everybody present accounted for on their devices last night?
They were, yep.
And how did it go?
It's funny because the first time we went to go kick it off, I was really anxious. You know, it was the first time we held a virtual meeting ever. And this was before the Zoom bombing started, but even still, you just want to make sure that everyone feels comfortable on the platform. And I feel the first meeting went really, really well. And then subsequently we had the second and then last night, the third. And I think the technology is just getting worse and worse. Either that or everyone is just inundating, you know, these different platforms. And so, you know, it went, I think, as well as it could, given some folks were unfortunately getting cut it, you know, in and out. And I think the storm, you know, didn't help last night with the connections. And so the meeting itself, as far as the content goes, went really well. As far as the glitches go, still trying to work through them. You know, hopefully the next one will be even better. So,
okay. Oh, to that end, when is the next one actually?
It's not going to be until May. So we, you know, obviously always scheduled a minimum of 2 meetings a month for the regular council meetings. And then this month, you know, we had done the back-to-back meetings to account for those who, you know, obviously have kids and have April vacation. And, you know, given the state of the world, that might not happen next week, but even still, we don't want to change up the scheduling too much. And so we held the second of the 2 meetings a month last night. You know, committee meetings are held in between, but the next regularly scheduled council meeting isn't until May.
Okay. So before we talk about business, let me ask you how you're doing personally during all this.
I'm good. Allergies are kicking my butt a little bit, you know. You know, it's funny, Joe, when you and I talk, it's always absolutely gorgeous out. And so I'm always looking at my window and thinking, oh, I wish I could go outside. But because my allergies are so bad today, honestly, I'm shutting all my windows and trying not to sneeze while you and I are talking.
Yeah, I know. How's your family holding up?
Everyone's good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Good, good. And how's your constituency? What are you hearing in Quincy right now, Nina? Anything you'd like to share with us, good or bad, actually?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag still. You know, when you and I had last spoke last week, I was sharing with you some of the inspiration that was coming from people in the community who were really reaching out and helping one another. And that has continued, you know, throughout the week, which is really nice to see that there is consistency in that and that even more people are continuing to come out to say, you know, again, we have masks to offer. Where can I drop those off? We have cleaning supplies to offer. Where can I drop those off? And so it's just a constant, you know, stream of communication that I'm trying to be really helpful with and facilitating. You know, I know folks like our first responders and Manit, Father Bills, all of the Quincy Housing Authority buildings, you know, they all need those supplies. And so, you know, when we're getting phone calls and emails from residents who want to be helpful and offer those supplies, it's just a matter of making sure that we can connect, you know, those people as quickly as possible. There is obviously still, you know, a deep amount of concern and fear out there, you know, because we don't know when the end is going to be. You know, I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and he said it really well. He said, you know, if this were rock bottom, I'd feel a lot better because then we can plan, right? Like if we knew that this was the worst it was going to get, even if it was going to be, okay, this is the worst it's going to be for the next 5 months. Okay. But at least we can plan for that, you know? And I think it's that uncertainty of, we don't know how much worse it's going to get before it gets better. And we don't know, you know, the duration of that timeline. That is, you know, obviously, understandably, really disconcerting for a lot of people. But, you know, you have to just keep taking one day at a time and really sort of addressing what's in front of you and keep moving forward. You know, we're all literally all going through this, you know, together. And I think we just need to hold on to that and remember that we're not alone with these fears and concerns.
Yeah. What are you hearing from the business community? Are they taking advantage of some of the help that's available here in the city through the chamber and through QCAP?
Yeah, it's an incredible resource. I know that they, you know, the first week they even launched it, you know, we're getting inundated with applications, and that's what we want to see. We want to see consistent applications of folks who are reaching out and hearing of this opportunity. You know, the federal government that passed the CARES Act, that application has gone out. I know a lot of our local banks have been hitting the ground running, you know, getting those applications through and making sure that small businesses have access to applying for that grant, the payroll protection program.
Right.
And so I know a lot of small businesses are taking advantage of that as well. And so, you know, it's, these resources continue to come out, and I know a lot of different people are working together to get those resources to the right people. I was talking to a friend who is in banking the other day, and he just said, look, it's a lot to do because you want to get things to the, you know, into the hands of the people who need it as quickly as possible. Right. And so those resources out there, they're posted everywhere. They're emailed to people. You know, they're shared through here. And I just hope that people continue to take advantage of it because it is there and it's available to them.
Yep, absolutely. It's a great resource for sure. So let's talk a little bit about the council meeting. A few items on the agenda: money for the Broad Meadows Middle School, for the Beach Riddle flood improvements. How did it go?
It went really well. It was a really, from my perspective, a really difficult conversation to have. You know, for specifically talking about the first item that was on the finance committee agenda. So we had the finance committee first, and the finance chair, Mr. Chairman, Dave McCarthy from Ward 1, had chaired the meeting. And so the first item that we had discussed was the Broad Meadows Middle School appropriation request. And that was for about $3 million. And it's to do some work on the school that is necessary for right now. You sort of look at the schools, you look at really all of the capital improvement projects across the city, and you think, what absolutely needs to get done now? You know, what can be done a little bit later, and what can be reconsidered that we maybe don't have to do, you know, given other things that are happening here in the city? And so that is always a conversation that we have over time, because we are looking at all these different, you know, capital improvement projects that have been going on the last few years. And it's no different, you know, given what's happening in the state of the world right now. You know, we have these meetings and we are starting to convene these meetings again, you know, because we are the government here locally, you know, and we can't stop our jobs and we can't stop serving the residents of Quincy. You know, I think for us, we have to be really careful about walking that fine line between being sensitive to what is directly in front of us right now with this pandemic and the immediate impacts of that, and the other side of it, which is we can't stop our responsibilities as well, and making sure that we are doing everything we can to provide the best services to the residents of this city. So taking that notion into this meeting, again, for me, I think it was a really challenging meeting to have, because, you know, we certainly don't want to let, of all things, our schools, you know, get dilapidated and not have, you know, facilities where our kids can go in and really be able to learn given the environment. And so Paul Hines, the Commissioner of Public Buildings, has really worked hard to go through again all of our public buildings and see what are the absolute necessary repairs that need to get done in order to sustain these public buildings. You know, our buildings in our city is very old. This is something we talk about a lot. And so, you know, the fixes and the improvements that we need to make to this old city, buildings and streets alike, is a long, grueling process, but something that we do need to do, right, to sustain the city. And so we had talked a little bit about some of the, again, absolute needs that had to get done. It's, you know, the boiler room, the electrical, some of the classrooms, and that amounts to, again, about $3 million in this first phase. There are other phases in this project that the commissioner does want to look at down the line, and that in totality is $8 million, including this three. But again, just given the state of the world that we're in, we were really looking at sort of, okay, what is the absolute need, right? Not this, you know, totality of these are the needs and the wants, and this is ideally what we'd like to have. You know, again, if we could have it our way, we would have everything be perfect, you know, but we have to be realistic. And realistically speaking, these sets of repairs absolutely needed to get done. And so I think it was a challenging conversation to have, right? Of course, you know, everything feels like it has completely stopped right now because of this pandemic. I mean, you know, you and I have been talking from home, you know, we can't leave, and we, you know, the world is really shut down right now. And so to that end, you know, why are we even thinking about doing repairs on a school? But again, the flip side to that is it's our responsibility to make sure that we are working with the administration and with the different departments. You know, they're the ones that are on the ground every single day seeing what the needs are. And we need to make sure that we're also being responsible for moving that forward as well. So it was a very interesting, but very difficult, I think, conversation for all of us to have. Yeah. You know, we do need to make sure that we're balancing both of those priorities.
Sure. Does it help maybe to bring a little bit of, you know, normalcy in this time of uncertainty for you personally and for the council, you know, to actually do some kind of quote unquote regular business?
Yes and no. I think, you know, yes, because this is, you know, for me, what I love to do. You know, I love being able to engage all the different departments and see the different moving parts in the city and sort of our role in that. And I would say no, just because the conversation does tie back to ultimately what's happening right now. Yeah. You know, again, there was a understandably, and I share that concern of, you know, what are we doing right now moving forward with you know, the work on this middle school when we really are kind of feeling a little bit frozen and concerned about the impact financially, you know, of this pandemic to the city. And so no matter what it is that we talk about, yes, it feels great to be able to get back to it, but it does all tie back together, you know, in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And that is really the crux of the conversation was, you know, making sure that we are able to maintain that balance.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it was approved.
It was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then the item for the Beechwood Knoll area, $680,000, I think it was, for flood.
It was.
Highgate repairs there, yeah.
Yes, and that was approved unanimously. That was, that's funding that we just need to move from one account to then move out and have the work start on it. And so when there's construction that gets started here in the city, obviously we talk a lot about how developers can pay into the Affordable Housing Trust as well. Right. You know, a part of what developers have to do is also pay into a fund that we can then take to use for repairs like this. Mm-hmm. And so the appropriation request and the approval was just to move those funds out and to get the work started.
Gotcha. Okay. And then looking at the LDA for Fox Rock Properties coming up, I guess, on a year, which surprised me when I found that out. What are you hearing from the administration on that?
Yeah, that was something that was introduced, and you know, similarly to what I was talking to about Broad Meadows, right? You always want to make sure that we are taking what comes to us and putting careful consideration into it, but we do have to also take into account everything else that's happening in the world, you know. And at that time, it just wasn't something that we were able to move forward on. Not enough information was provided at the time, and so yes, we want to make sure that we are moving forward with redeveloping the downtown and seeing everything, you know, be 100% done. Mm-hmm. But moving in that direction, we have to be incredibly careful and thoughtful about the information that's presented to us. And so we were waiting for more information to be provided for us, and it has been since then. But then everything like this hit, right? And so the request last night was to just get an update on not so much the LDA, but really what else is going on as far as the Fox Rock properties go in the downtown area. So those are two separate things, right? The LDA for Fox Rock was approved, but the LDA that we're looking at that's still in front of us right now is for the Hancock lot side. And so I think there might be a little bit of confusion there, but there's two different LDAs with respect to the downtown in the most recent time that we had discussed. Yep. So one was, again, for the Fox Rock property in the Ross lot, and the other that is still outstanding is the one that's in the Hancock lot.
Okay. I think that's with the LBC company. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
And so Council Mahoney and Council Pamucci are just looking for an update as to what's been going on with the Ross lot.
Gotcha. And that was all that was on the agenda. Did anything else come up, Nina?
No, we, you know, I think want to, again, take this really slowly and be really mindful and very deliberate about what we are discussing as we move forward. And like you said earlier, start to get into a little bit of a normalcy with the council meetings and our course of business. You know, every single one of us on the council, you know, we take this role and responsibility very, very seriously. But again, the fact that every single person is being impacted by the pandemic, you know, that is the top priority for every single one of us, right? Is making sure that the constituents and the residents that we serve have what it is that they need to get through this. If they're small business owners, making sure that they're getting in touch with the chamber and with QCAP, you know, making sure that they're applying for these grants and these loans to come in to help pay for rent, right? That they are communicating with our state reps and our state senators if they need any help, you know, with the unemployment applications online. That is our top priority right now, you know, and trying to find that balance between, okay, we need to make sure that we're doing that piece of the job that we really, you know, hold dear. And we also need to, you know, keep in mind what's in front of us and making sure that we are not halting this city and that we are still doing our part to move it forward. It's something that we do have to be really careful about. And so to that end, you know, we wanted to make sure that with last night's agenda and the meeting itself, that we weren't going into an extreme on one side or the other. You know, we need to be really careful and cautious and again, deliberate about what we're discussing, you know, because front of mind for all of us is what can we continue to do to make sure that our residents are safe and healthy? And what can we do to continue to provide for them and create resources for them? So that will always be front of mind. That will also dictate our upcoming meeting in May as well. And so you'll see, you know, from that what's to come.
Okay. Is it May 4th? Is it, that's the first Monday?
May 4th, yeah. First Monday of the yeah.
Okay, great. Anything else, Nina?
No, that's it. How are you holding up, Joe?
Well, we're doing fine here at UATV. As long as the technology holds out, we'll be able to keep the community informed and bring them interviews like this. And we've tried to reach out to all the elected officials, both city, state. I've even had a chat with Congressman Lynch. So we've been fortunate here to be able to stay connected to the community. We hope to continue to do so. And as you said, get back to normal as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, stay safe, Joe. I appreciate this opportunity, as always.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And don't hesitate to reach out anytime. We'll make it happen one way or the other.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.